Morning, Chriswell. Can we give our worship team a hand for doing an amazing job? Amen. My name is Stephen Wages. Ooh, these lights are bright. My name is Stephen Wages. I am an associate justice with the Student Government Association. And every year, the Student Government Association shares a historical black figure. And here today, I'm talking about Howard Thurman. Howard Thurman was an author, philosopher, and a theologian, and a civil rights leader. Born November 18, 1899, in Daytona Beach, Florida. When young Thurman was 14 years old, he moved to Daytona. He moved to Jacksonville and attended a boarding school where there he was not only a high there was not any high schools for black people in Daytona then. After high school, he attended both Morehouse College and Colgate Rochester Divinity School, earning bachelor's degrees from both institutions, with a particular bachelor's degree in divinity. And graduating at the top of his class as valedictorian in 1935, he was asked to lead a delegation in Southeast Asia, where he met Mohammed Gandhi, where he explored power and nonviolent action. When it comes to social change, he was already recognized as an advocate for human rights by the time the civil rights movement took shape in the United States. He was a spiritual advisor, or he liked to be called the caretaker, for many prominent civil rights leaders that you may have heard of today, like Reverend Jesse Jackson, Marion Wright Eldman, and the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In 1944, Thurman co-founded a church in San Francisco where they broke social norms that broke the barriers and separated people on the basis of color, race, creed, national origin. Howard Thurman died April 10, 1981 in San Francisco, California. And let's praise God for the life and legacy of Howard Thurman. Anyways, Dr. Creamer.
Before I introduce our speaker today, I just want to thank you, Stephen, for that testimony, and grateful for you to mention Dr. Howard Thurman, his book, Jesus and the Disinherited. If you haven't read it, you simply have not read the work you need to read to understand your own Christianity. It is a powerful work. And if you want to understand any of the words that come out of the mouths of people you've heard from the civil rights movement, you need to read that book. It will transform your understanding, again, of your own Christianity and of what Christianity was in the mouth and life of Jesus, our Savior, and the way we ought to understand it to practice it ourselves. So I strongly encourage you to get that book, Jesus and the Disinherited. We use it in our Christian and the Social Order class, but it is a really valuable resource. And I'm telling you, my heart was convicted when I read that book. Every page, every word on the page was convicting for how I had thought about my own Christianity. So thank you again for introducing him to us today. Our speaker this morning is Dr. Kevin Norvell. Dr. Norvell serves as the Director of Educational Programs for Voice of Hope Ministries, where he's dedicated to creating impactful educational experiences for diverse learners. In addition to his leadership role at Voice of Hope, he is also the senior pastor of Redeemer Missionary Baptist Church in Lancaster, where he provides, obviously, spiritual support and leadership. In addition to that, he's taught at pretty much every educational level, so from junior high and high school to junior college and college and seminary settings. He has taught in every setting you can imagine. His educational background is that he has a number of degrees in basic Bible, biblical counseling, organizational management, a master's degree in training and development, and then a doctor of education degree in doctor of education and administration from Texas A&M University in Commerce. He, in addition to that, by the way, has 5 adult children and 10 grandchildren, if I read it correctly. So y'all join me in giving a warm welcome to Dr. Kevin Norvell today. Come on up, brother. Thank you very much.
There we go. We're on. I hear that. Typically, I would start out with, let the church say amen. Amen. So I want to say to Chriswell, I am so grateful for being here, this opportunity to share with you from the book of Romans, chapter 1. It's a familiar passage, but a passage that after I got the request, the notification, the direction, I went to God in prayer. He immediately put this passage on my heart. Now, believe it or not, I'm not one of many words. I only have 4 pages here, although they are front and back. So I want to encourage you to say amen when you can, and ouch if you have to. Let us go to God in prayer, and then let us examine Romans chapter 1, starting at verse number 11. Precious Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask now that you forgive us of our sins. Cleanse us, dear God, of all of our unrighteousness. Restore, Father, the fellowship between us and thee. Use me, Father, at this time as your mouthpiece. I pray, dear God, your blessings upon each student here, each faculty member here. I pray your blessings, dear God, upon this college, the mission and the purpose, the impactfulness of it all, dear God. And then those, dear God, who are unable to be with us, be with them and show yourself mighty. Now, Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, give sight to the blind, unstop deaf ears, cause the lame to walk. And we'll be careful to give you all the praise, glory, and honor. For it is in the mighty name of Jesus that I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thine sight. For dear God, you are my strength and you are my redeemer. So in Jesus' name, I do pray and ask it all. Amen. Romans chapter 11 and Romans chapter 1. Verse 11 through verse 17, we find these words recorded, and I would love to read for your hearing. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gifts, to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to speak from the subject in what I call these last days. From the topic, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Now, prior to going any further, I would like to share with all of you that there are a lot of things that I am ashamed of as a result of being born into sin and shapen in iniquity. And there have been times that I found myself yielding to my flesh. And as a result, I have experienced experienced reasons to be ashamed. I am guilty at times of being conformed to the ways of this world rather than being transformed by the renewing of my mind. And I declare unto you that I am ashamed. If truth be told, the devil, as a roaring lion, has sought to devour me, and I have allowed him at times to steal my joy, kill my peace, and destroy my hope, if only for a season. And for this reason, shame has filled my heart and my mind. There may be some that can relate to what I'm talking about. But thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. When I consider the writings of the Apostle Paul to the Church of Rome, I see a parallelism between what was happening in Rome and in my beloved state of Texas. You see, Paul too had to deal with the erosion of religious freedom or persecution for the contending of one's faith. And this became detrimental to the public's opportunity and willingness to engage with the full spectrum of Christians' faith, especially to those that did not align with dominant societal positions. Personally, I see a reflection of the attack that Christian had to endure and overcome in reference to issues such as critical race theory. In spite of it all, and being inspired by the third person of the Godhead, Paul wrote these informative words in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 unto us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to tell the world's need for salvation and God's provision of this salvation, according to Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, as well as Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. It is as close to a summary of Paul's teaching we have. Salvation, the deliverance from condemnation unto justification, comes by God's grace through faith. And it's not something humans can accomplish or earn, according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9 through 10. Paul also wrote the letter to tell us of his plans to visit Rome, to give guidance with some church problem, and to tell how Christians are supposed to live. Take notice to Paul's approach in verse 11 and verse 12. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, and to the end you may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Notice the exegesis of this two verses. Paul expresses his deep desire to meet the Roman believers in order to impart a spiritual gift to strengthen them. You do know that there are times we are weak in our walk with Jesus Christ. We're weak in our fellowship with Jesus Christ. But praise be to God, we're never weak in our relationship with Jesus Christ as a result of the blood from the Lamb of God that do not cover us but take away our sins. However, this isn't a one-sided relationship. It's mutual. He recognizes that both he and the Roman believers will be encouraged by one another's faith. This speaks to the essence of pastoral ministry, a two-way relationship where both the pastor and the congregation encourage each other in the Lord. No wonder the proverb writer reveals in 27 and 17 that it is iron that sharpens iron. My challenge for you today, are you prepared to engage in ministry where the work is both giving and receiving? Remember, the best pastors are those who are still growing in their faith, staying humble and open to learning from others, especially the people they minister to. The application for us, as you advance in your biblical studies and step further into ministry work and service, understand that your role is not just about teaching or leading. It's about mutual growth and encouragement. Your congregation and the people that you serve will strengthen your faith just as much as you seek to strengthen theirs. Your ministry will be a shared journey, one where you'd call to pour into others while being open to receive from them. Embrace this interchange of faith as you engage with those you serve. And I just want to remind you what we would say in our church: serving the Lord will pay off after a while. After the apostle explained why he had not visited Rome and his desire to have some fruit among them in verse 13 of Romans chapter 1, take notice of how Paul sees himself in verse number 14. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul acknowledges that he is under obligation to both the learned Greek and the unlearned barbarians, the wise and the foolish. And when I hear the words expressed in Romans chapter 1 and verse 14 regarding the intense obligation to these that reside on the opposite end of the social as well as the economical as well as the ethical or even the scale of ethnicity, I take it as Paul understood that the wages of sin is death. Therefore, he is working on a debt he would never be able to pay off, because his sin debt had been paid off by the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Now here, if I was at church, I would shout out, see, can't nobody do me like Jesus. And then I'll step a little further and say, ain't nobody like the Lord. But my challenge for you today, are you ready to minister to diverse groups, each with their own unique needs and challenges? And while you ponder even on that, can I share with you, God always matches the man with the mission. All right. Now, at this point, if I was at church, I'd say, let me put some Bible on it. And then I'll say, see, for every Goliath, there is a David. For every King Agrippa, there is the Apostle Paul. And for Satan, there is Jesus Christ the righteous. And at that point, I would step back and say, let the church say amen. Amen. The application of this, as you step into the mission field, your obligation to preach the gospel remains unchanged. The call to evangelize is not limited by cultural or social divides, but extends to all people. From the learned to the marginalized, from the elite to the outcast, you are called to reach everyone with the gospel, regardless of their ethnicity, background, or life stage. Now, if I had like 35 minutes plus, I would go into another example like this. You remember the time in John chapter 4 when Jesus met the woman at the well? You recall her being a Samaritan woman. And really, she was under the impression that there should not be any dealings with Jews. But the Jesus we serve, he breaks down barriers because God would that none should perish, but that all shall come to repentance. And though she came looking for physical water, she received living water. And she has this testimony. Come, see a man. Is not this the Christ? He has told me all things. Then I will expound on the fact that, listen, she told the men, they came, they asked Jesus to stay. He stayed two more days. And the Bible put it like this in the King James Version. Many more got saved. Walk with me to verse 15 of Romans chapter 1. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. The eagerness to preach the gospel should be universal among all believers because it, the gospel, transcends cultural, intellectual, and social barriers. Paul was eager to bring the gospel to those who had not yet heard it. The message of the gospel must be proclaimed to all, no matter their background or their status. The challenge at this time. The world you're entering as a pastor and evangelist will be more diverse than ever. Be bold in your calling to preach the gospel without hesitation or fear, and allow the power of God's word to transcend every barrier. Aim to have the results of your encounter with those who God has ordained for you to meet resemble the same result that Jesus had that was described in the book of John chapter 4 that I shared with you concerning the woman at the well. When we look at verse 16 and verse 17, the scripture says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Paul boldly declares that he is not ashamed of the gospel. It is not just a message. It is the power of God for salvation. And need I share with you, God did not call us to be undercover Christians. God did not call us to be silent Christians. And I realize you don't have to have a pulpit to preach the gospel. Come to find out, as I examine my own self, you don't have to be perfect to preach the gospel. The God we serve can use a crooked stick to hit a straight leg. You have to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in you. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to equip you and use you as an instrument of his grace and his mercy. Need I remind us that within this earthen vessel, we have a divine treasure and a responsibility to preach, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, if I was at church at this time, I would say something like this. According to Mama, only what you do for Christ while in Christ will last. And aren't you glad he ordained us, authorized us, and empowered us to share this good news? Thus, we are saved to serve. The gospel is the means through which God reveals his righteousness to the world, offering salvation to everyone who believes. This gospel is a message that transcends all boundaries and has the power to transform lives. Now, this is the part y'all say amen. If you realize I was under condemnation, but now I'm under justification because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The beautiful thing about it, someone asked me, well, Narvell, when did you get born again? To tell you the honest truth, I can't recall when I confessed the Lord Jesus with my mouth and believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead. And according to the book of Romans, I'm saved. In the King James Version, there's a period right there. But I do know he died one Friday, stayed in the grave all day and all night Friday. He stayed there all day Saturday. And before I tell you the rest, I just know that because I'm saved, I get happy for the opportunity to preach the gospel. And it is to encourage all of us to be about our Father's business. It's simply because the devil, as a roaring lion, seeketh whom he may devour, and he don't want you to preach this gospel. But Mama would say it like this: if God be for you, who can be against you? And I want you to know life has meaning when you realize that you're working on God's program. Because one day we will have to give an account. And from my understanding, there are two different places mentioned in the Bible. One place is over at the great white throne. If you know what I'm talking about, you all say amen. Amen. But another place is mentioned, speaks of the judgment seat or bema seat of Christ. If you're familiar with that, you all say amen. So when we give an account, and here, I'm looking to be at the bema seat, and you can say amen on that. We're not going to be able to give an excuse for not preaching and sharing this gospel. A few things I want to just share with you as I prepare to close. We cannot excuse ourselves from sharing this gospel because the Lord has given us all that we need to accomplish the task. For the scripture says, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. So although the devil do his thing, I still have the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit to do what God called me to do. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I should have been dead and gone a long time ago. But the Lord has plans for us. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because Jesus changed us from sinners to saints. Don't be ashamed of the gospel, because by the gospel, he has made us sit together in heavenly places. Don't be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for because of it, we have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we have the victory over death, hell, and the grave because of Jesus Christ. Now, at this point, I would do something like this. Do you know who I'm talking about? His name is Jesus. He's Mary's baby. He's God in the flesh. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. I shared with you earlier, he died on the cross one Friday. He was suspended between the heavens and the earth. And I could hear the voice of Satan saying, come down. Then we would believe. But it wasn't the nails that kept my Savior, our Lord, on the cross. It was obedience to the Father. It was love for us. And need I remind you, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thus, he did not wait until we became good little boys and girls. But while we were yet sinners, he died. Told me to tell you, nobody take it, my life. I got power. I have the authority to lay it down. Why suspended between the heavens and the earth? It was a thief on the left side and a thief on the right side. The thief on the right side said, Lord, when you enter into your kingdom, remember me, Jesus. Made death behave, responded to this sinner's cry. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. Now, Papa has gone home to be with the Lord, but if he was here, he'd tell you, there's a thief in glory saying, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He died. He laid his head in the locks of his shoulders. And that indicates to me that death did not overtake him. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. I'm trying to share with you the gospel and why I'm not ashamed of it. I had a problem. Why is it a borrowed tomb? And Psalms 24 let us know that the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, and everything that has been made was made by him, but he had to borrow a tomb. Oh, but when Sunday morning got here, it became well with my soul, because he got up from the grave with all power. Told me to tell you, come unto me, says Jesus, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. For this reason, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to all that believe. Let us pray. Precious Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we thank you now for reminding us, informing us to not be ashamed of the gospel. Thank you, Father, for allowing us to be mindful that we are debtors, that we should be ready, and that we are not ashamed. Thank you, Father, for the promises that are found in your word. Thank you for the ability and the authority to share your gospel. Be with each soul that is here. Father, be with those who are unable to be with us, those who are sick and shut in. Continue to bless the mission of this school as they seek to equip the saints for your work. In the name of Jesus Christ the righteous, we pray and we ask it all. And all of God's children said, amen and amen.
Y'all join me standing. Thank you, Dr. Norvell, for a beautiful message. May the Lord bless the people who love his gospel, and may we love those who bring the gospel to us. God bless you. You're dismissed.